The following is an initiation lecture given by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded on December 1st, 1968, in Los Angeles.
Now, the purport of this mantra I have several times explained. Nama. Nama means a surrender. Nama, Om Nama. This is the way of chanting Vedic mantra. Om means addressing the Absolute, and Nama means I am surrendering. Every Vedic mantra is begun Om Nama. Om means addressing. So, this mantra is chanted with surrender, nama. Nothing can be done without surrender. Because our this conditional life is rebellious life. We have rebelled against the supremacy of the Personality of God. That is conditioned life. There are so many theses to support this rebellious condition. Somebody is thinking that I am one with God. Somebody is thinking God is dead. Somebody is thinking there is no God. Somebody is thinking, why you are searching God? There are so many gods loitering in the street. So in this way, many theses are there. All of them are different symptoms of rebellious condition. The Saman substance, just like atheists, they are boldly saying, oh, there is no God. Now, but the impersonal is saying, then maybe God, but He has no head, He has no tail. That's so, in this way, our condition is rebellious condition. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita instructs that you surrender. Sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam saranam bhaja. So without surrender, there is no question of making any spiritual progress. Just like a person who has rebelled against the government. The first condition is to surrender. Otherwise, there is no question of mercy from the government. Similarly, anyone the living entity, any one of us who has rebelled against the supremacy of the law, the beginning of spiritual life is surrender. So, this mantra, initiation, nama, nama means surrender. And who can surrender? Surrender, one who has understood the Lord, he can surrender. As it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mang prapaddat. After many, many births of cultivation of knowledge, when one is perfectly wise, at that time he surrenders. Perfection of acquiring knowledge or wisdom is to surrender. So, nama. Nama means I surrender. And what is your condition? Never mind what is that condition. Apavitra, apavitra. Apavitra means contaminated. And pavitra means liberated. So, we have two conditions. Either just like either we are healthy or we are diseased. There is no third condition. Crude example. Similarly, the living entities, they have two conditions. One condition is liberation. Another condition is contamination. Therefore, living entity is called marginal, in between contamination and liberation. Either a living entity can be contaminated or liberated. There is no third condition. Therefore, this mantra says, apavitra pavitrava, either contaminated or liberated. It doesn't matter. Namo apavitra pavitra. Sarva vasthyang. Sarva means all. Vasthyang means condition. In any condition. Sarva vasthyang gatupiva. In whatever condition you may be. Because two conditions there are. For the living entities, the living entities in the marginal position, either he can be in material nature or in the spiritual nature. The spiritual nature means liberation and material nature means contamination. So in this mantra it is said that either of the condition, never mind, either you are in material condition or spiritual condition. Sarvavastham gato api ba. Ba means either. Ja, anyone, smaret. Smaret means remembers. Pundarikakhang means whose eyes are just like lotus petal. That means Krishna or Vishnu. Jasmaret Pundarikakhang. Shab Bahya. Bahya means externally this body. Abhantaram means internally. Internally, I am spirit. Just like internally, within this dress, I am internally. Externally, I am this dress. Similarly, jasarit pundarikakam. Either he is in the bodily concept of life, or he is in the spiritual concept of life. Either he is contaminated, or he is liberated. In any condition, one who remembers Krishna or Vishnu, Bhajabhantaram, he immediately becomes purified internally and externally. This is the substance of this mantra. And at the last, we are chanting Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. Because it may not be misunderstood that in this verse it is said that just Marit Pundarikak, anyone who remembers the lotus side. So somebody may think my such and such lover is lotus side, or in that way, lotus side, and there may be so many lotus side. Therefore, at last, it is specifically said, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. Lotus eyed means Vishnu, not anybody else. Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. This is the basic principle of devotional life. Narad Pancharatra, it is recommended, we are explaining these things in devotional Nectar of Devotion. The basic principle of purification is smartabho satato Vishnu. Always one has to remember Vishnu or Krishna. Krishna and Vishnu, the same. When you speak Krishna, it includes Vishnu. So, smartabho satato Vishnu, bismartabho najatuchi. We shall not forget Vishnu. even for a moment. This is the basic principle of devotional life. Somewhere or other, we have to remember always Krishna. Then, whatever condition we may be, we are pure. Sa-bhajya-bhaktaram-suchi. This chanting helps us, always remembering Krishna. As soon as we chant Hare Krishna here, immediately we remember. So long I remember, I am suchi, I am pure, no material contamination. Therefore, if I continue my life in that pure stage, then I am eligible for going back to Godhead, because nobody can enter in the kingdom of God without being completely pure. Completely pure means annavilasita sunnam, no material desire. Here in the material world, we manufacture so many plans to be happy, material desire. Somebody is thinking, I shall be happy in this way, somebody is thinking. But there is no question of happiness here. The place is contaminated. Contaminated is like an infected place. You cannot be happy. The medical officer will ask you to leave that place. This quarter has been infected by the disease. Better you leave, you go somewhere else. That is the treatment. Infected place must be left immediately. So similarly, this world, this material world of three modes of different qualities, you have to keep yourself always antiseptic, pure, by remembering Krishna. That is the process. As soon as you forget Krishna, immediately the infection, Maya, immediately affects you. Krishna bhuliyaji bhagavan cha kare. What is that Maya? Maya means to plan how to become materially happy. This is Maya. All the people of the world, they're simply making plan how they will be happy within this material world. This is Maya. The history of the whole world studied. It is experience that the Roman Empire planned, the British Empire planned, so many empires they flourish sometimes, all failed. The Britishers, they are 200 years ago, they are planning to rule over this vast land of America, where George Washington declared independence. Their plan failed. Similarly, in India, they are planning to exploit. Now Gandhi's movement made it fail. So this is bigger plan. Similarly, smaller plan also, there are many. Individually, we make so many plans that I shall be happy in this way, that way, that way. So this plan-making business is Maya. Because that will never be successful. Trace out the history of the whole world. Nobody has become happy. Hitler made a plan, so great a plan, you see. He was frustrated. So the sane man, intelligent man, therefore Bhagavad Gita says that a person who is actually intelligent, wise, how a man becomes wise? After being baffled or frustrated many, many times, he can understand this is not the process. And The Vedanta Sutra also places the first Adhata Brahma Jigyasa. When one is frustrated in all plan-making business, for him, the Vedanta Sutra gives him the opportunity. Now your all plans have failed. Come here, Adhata Brahma Jigyasa. Now try to understand what is Brahma. This is the first aphorism of Vedanta Sutra. Just try to understand Brahma. So in this way, this initiation also, initiation means the first beginning, how to become purified. This is initiation. Because this devotional service means the process of purification. Now, every one of you individually can understand how you are becoming purified from your past life. That is practical. Yes. How you are becoming purified. So this initiation means the beginning of purificatory process. And the purificatory process, what is that? This mantra. Jasmare punarika khangsa bhaiya bantaram suchi. Anyone who always remembers, or whenever he remembers, if not always, as soon as he remembers, punarika kham sa bhaiya bantaram suchi. He becomes immediately purified internally and externally. So those who are going to be initiated today, they should remember that not only they, all of us should remember, it is not that we have passed all examination. No, Maya is very strong. Any moment she can catch up. As soon as, just like a virulent type of disease, as soon as there is little negligence, there is relapse immediately, typhoid. So, the doctors take very much precautionary steps in the what is called convalescent stage of cure, because there is chance of relapse. Similarly, we are trying to be purified. This initiation means to accept the path of purification. Now we have to continue that path of purification, and then if you are strong enough, then we can very easily make progress to achieve the ultimate result. There is no doubt about it. So, bhakti marga, this devotional service, Krishna consciousness, means to remember always Krishna. Smartabbo satato Vishnu. Vismartabbo na jatu chit. This is the basic principle, Krishna consciousness. We should always remember Krishna, and we shall never forget. And the very simple method that we chant Hare Krishna. So, Krishna has given us tongue, so we can utilize it. And this is the beginning of spiritual life. This is the beginning of understanding God or Krishna. Otherwise, we cannot understand what is God. Atasya Krishna namadi namhavid grahiham indriyai. Namadi. God has name. People say, why there should be name of God? He has no name. The impersonalist says, nameless. Why? The Vedanta Sutra says, janmadasya jataha. Everything is generated from him. So if there is name, you have got name, I have got name, anything, this tape record has got name, this plate has got name, the place has got name, the carpet has got name, and simply God has no name. Why? They see the fallacy. The fountainhead of all names is God, and He has no name. He is zero. These are the arguments, but we don't accept. The thing is, they do not know the name, because their senses are not purified. You cannot understand God by imperfect senses. Therefore, Bhagavad says, Atha, Sri Krishna Namadi, Namadi. Nam means name. Adi, because name is the beginning of everything. Just like if I want to make friendship with you, I ask you, what is your name? That is the beginning. If you go to the court, before beginning the judgment, what is your name? What is your father's name? You submit any application, what is your name? So, Namadi. So if we want to understand the Supreme Absolute Truth, we should begin from the name. Krishna. Hare Krishna. The name, the holy name. But we cannot understand whether this is the name of God due to our imperfect senses. Therefore, the formula is Atha Sri Krishna Namadi Na Bhavet Grahyam Indriyai. You cannot understand. Just like we are chanting Hare Krishna, somebody is taking pleasure in hearing the name of Krishna. Somebody may say, what is this nonsense they are disturbing? Because he has no knowledge of the name. But this name, not only name, Namadi, beginning from name, first of all name, then quality, then form, then pastimes, then entourage, in this way, God has everything. When we say king, king means his kingdom, his palace, his secretary, his queen, so many, his garment, his gone expanding, so many things. Simply by one word, king. King does not mean simply one person. Similarly, when we say God or Krishna, immediately it is to be understood that He has so many things behind. So the whole world is behind. So, how to understand? Atha Sri Krishna Namadi, His name, His quality, His form, His entourage, His expansion. Na bhavet grahyam indriyai. This indriya, this senses, materially contaminated, cannot understand, cannot grasp what is the name of Krishna, what is the form of Krishna, what is the quality of Krishna. Then, why you are taking so much trouble? If by these senses we cannot understand Krishna, then what is the use of wasting time? No. The next line is, Sevanamukhihi jivhadau swayameva svarupto. You cannot understand by exercising your senses. But He reveals to whom? Who is in the service attitude, jivhadu, beginning from the tongue. Sevanmukhi jivhadu. Of all the senses, the tongue is considered to be the principal sense. If the tongue is trained, or the tongue is spiritualized, then naturally all the senses become spiritualized. So jivadu. So our training is the tongue training, training chanting Hare Krishna, and let it taste Krishna prasadam. Then what will be the all other senses? There are five senses for acquiring knowledge, five senses acting. Everything will be controlled, and devotional service of Krishna consciousness means sarvapadhi vininmuktam tatparatena nirmalam. By contacting relationship with Krishna, these senses become purified. And what is the symptom of purification? Sarvapadhi vinirmuktam. They become uncontaminated by the designative material identification. There are so many things. So the process of Krishna consciousness is purification of the senses, and the purification of senses begins by training the tongue with service spirit. So those who are going to be initiated, this is special, everyone should note it, that we should train our tongue not to talk nonsense things, you see. Simply talk of Krishna. We have got so many subject matter. We have got Bhagavad Gita, we have got Srimad Bhagavatam, we have got teachings of Lord Chaitanya, so many books. And it's a thousand Upanishad, Veda, Vedanta. Anyone you select, you talk. Just like Ammuri Savai Manak Krishna Padaravindayo Bachangsi Vaikuntha Gunanu Bannan. Maharaj Ammuri is, he set a very nice example that he fixed up his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, and when he was speaking, he was talking about Krishna. So just try to utilize your tongue. It doesn't matter whether it is contaminated or purified, but the process is purificatory. You just train your tongue nicely, engage in Krishna. So if you can talk, you go, preach, talk of Krishna, talk of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, lecture, anywhere, that you'll be doing the best service to the people and to yourself. If you think that you are unable to give speeches, then you chant Hare Krishna and eat prasadam. So there is no difficulty. But train the tongue. Sevan mukhihi jivhado. Beginning from the tongue, you shall be able to purify all your senses. And as soon as your senses are purified, you will see Krishna. You will understand what is Krishna, what is his name, what is his form, what is his kingdom. Everything will be. Samaveva spurattvada. You haven't got to endeavor. As soon as your senses are purified, Krishna is present. Just like as soon as the night is over, the sun is present. You cannot search out sun in the darkness. You simply wait for the morning and the sun is at your door. Similarly, try to drive away the darkness and Krishna will see. He'll see, oh, Krishna is not dead. He's so nice. So this initiation means beginning of purificatory process of the senses. And that beginning with the tongue. Very simple method. We are not asking you to show some gymnastic feats or no. simply try to control your tongue. It is in your hand. And what is the means of controlling? Just engage chanting Hare Krishna and take Krishna prasadam. Samadasi will supply you nice prasadam. It is very easy. Don't take anything which is not Krishna prasadam, and don't talk anything which is not Krishna. Then you become liberated. Your path of liberation is open. Two things. Don't talk anything except Krishna. Don't eat anything except Krishna prasadam. This is very difficult. All right. Ten kinds of offenses. They should be. They avoid the offenses.
Where the background?
Now.
The 10 offenses to avoid in chanting the Maha Mantra. First is blaspheming the Lord's devotee. Second, considering the Lord and other demigods on the same level.
This is a very important point. Blaspheming the devotees. The Lord's devotee. In many countries, many places, just like Lord Jesus Christ, he is also devotee of Lord. Muhammad, he is also devotee of Lord. So, it is not that because we are Krishna conscious, we shall unnecessarily decry any other parts, any other devotee. It may be according to time, place and country, the method may be different, but anyone who is preaching devotion to God, he is a devotee of God. So he should never be blasphemed. Yes.
Two, considering the Lord and other demigods on the same level.
Yes. One should not put the Supreme Personality of God in. Just like the Mayavadi says, the demigods and God, they are all the same. Because according to them, God has no form. So any form you accept, imagine as the form of God, it is as good. But that is not the fact. There are demigods and the Supreme God also. So we should not place, just like demigod, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, Chandra, they are demigods. So we should not place. In one sense, there is nothing except God, because everything expansion of God. But that does not mean I am equal to God. I am also expansion of God. That's a fact. Just like Father and the Son. Son is the expansion of Father. It is still, the Son is not the Father. Don't mistake that. There is no difference between Father and Son, because the same body is expanded as Son. But still, the Son is not the Father. Father is Father, Son is Son. Variety, the Mayavadi philosophers, they do not understand.
Or assuming that there are many gods.
God is one. There cannot be many gods. If God is not one, there is no meaning of God. God means, according to Vedic definition, asamardha. Asama means one who has no equal. Nobody is equal to God. And urdha means nobody is greater than God. God is great. Nobody can be greater than God. Therefore, God is one. Nobody is greater, nobody is equal. That means everyone is lower.
Neglecting the orders of the spiritual master.
Yes. This is one offense. These are offenses. When we accept spiritual master, it is understood that you cannot deny his order. Just like Krishna and Arjuna was talking as friends, but when Arjuna accepted Krishna as spiritual master, he was simply hearing, and wherever there was a difficulty to understand, he was questioning, not that he was equally arguing with Krishna. Before accepting him, he was arguing. So this is the position. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said that my spiritual master found me a great fool. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not a fool, but it is the good qualification of a disciple to remain a fool before the spiritual master. Therefore, he will never, dare to argue or disobey. And that is offense. No? That does not mean that when you cannot understand, you cannot question. Question must be there. That is stated in this Bhagavad Gita. Tad vidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. Your relationship is to know from spiritual master everything. But you should know that with three things. What is that? First of all, you should surrender. You must accept the spiritual master as greater than you. Otherwise, what is the use of accepting one spiritual master? Pranipat. Pranipat means surrendering. And pariprasna. And questioning. And seva and service. There must be two sides, service and surrender. And in the middle there must be question. Otherwise, there is no question or answer. Two things must be there, service and surrender. Then answer a question is nice. Yes.
The fourth offense is minimizing the authority of the Vedas.
Yes. Scriptures, the authority of Vedas, they must be accepted. Just like the other day I was explaining. The Vedas says the conch shell is pure, although it is a bone of an animal. In other places, Veda gives you the injunction, the bone of an animal is impure. But it says the conch shell is pure. It can be placed before the deity, it can be used in the deity room in its service. Now there may be argument, oh, this is a bone of an animal, how is that? Contradiction, no. So one should accept the injunction of the Vedas like that. Whenever it says this is impure, it is impure. When it says it's pure, it is pure. Oh. Now, if there is any doubt, that should be understood by questioning submissively and with service from the spiritual master. The spiritual master is there. But we should always accept the injunction of the scripture as truth. Just like there is a proverb, Bible truth, biblical truth. Nobody can deny Bible. This should be the attitude. Bible is also part of Vedas, therefore Vedic injunctions should be accepted as it is, without any interpretation. Just like Bhagavad Gita is Veda. Why Veda? The Supreme Personality of Godhead personally speaking. Therefore it is Veda. There is no mistake. One should accept no interpretation as it is. Therefore, we are presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is.
Yes. The fifth offense is interpreting the holy names of God.
Yes. No interpretation in the holy names. Just like Krishna, the Mayavadi philosophers may, just like Gandhi has written, Pandava means the senses, Kurukshetra means this body, Krishna means the mind. No such nonsense interpretation. Krishna is Krishna. Yes, go on.
The sixth offense is committing sin on the strength of chanting.
Yes. Now, we have explained the mantra that as soon as one chants Hare Krishna, immediately Bajjham abhantaram suci, he becomes purified. Now, if one takes advantage of this holy name, oh, let me commit sins, sometimes in the Christian church they take advantage that by confessing sin one becomes free from sinful reaction. So, go to church and confess and again come out and do all sorts of sins and again confess. This sort of minimizing is a nonsense. It is fact, when you confess before the church, before God, you are free from all sinful action. That's right. But if you commit again, then next confession will not be accepted. They do not know this. You cannot resist. Suppose a child has committed some mistake. Father's all right, don't do this. If he again does it, there is no excuse. They do not know that. They think we can commit sin and go to church and confess and finish. So let us do this balancing business. Yes. Similarly, don't do this balancing business, because chanting Hare Krishna will wash up all my accounts of sinful activities. So, in the morning, from morning to night, let me do all kinds of sinful activities, and at night, at bedtime, let me chant Hare Krishna. Then finish. No? Don't do that. Don't do that. That is the greatest offense. Yes. You'll never be forgiven. Those who purposely do like that, I've got very nice instrument for washing off my sinful activities. So whole day let me do all sinful activities and at night let me chant Hare Krishna. Let me meditate. That's all. Finish. No. You should know that the name, the holy name has got the power. Now, from this date you are free from all sinful activities. Reaction. But don't do it. That is the greatest offense. Yes.
Seventh offense is instructing the Lord's name to the unfaithful.
Yes. Those who do not believe in God, atheists, what is the use of? Not to bother him, but give him the chance of hearing. That will make him competent to come forward. Therefore, we are distributing this holy name. Not that everyone will be immediately turned to Krishna consciousness, but we are giving chance. If they hear, you have got practical experience, somebody is hearing, he is reforming. So we should give chance. But if one is staunch atheist, we should not talk very much with him about Krishna. He may say something against offensive. Yes. Then?
The eighth offense is comparing the holy name to material piety.
Yes. And another thing, just like we are holding this ceremony, initiation ceremony, you should not be accepted as we are functioning some ritualistic ceremony. No. It is different from ritualistic ceremony. Although it appears like ritualistic, it is transcendental. Ritualistic ceremony, they are meant for giving you advantage of become pious from impious life. It also gives that, but this is not the ultimate aim. The ultimate aim is to give you love of God, which is far, far transcendental to the pious and impious activity. There is a different thing that belongs to the spiritual world. Love of God. It is not that it is a function to nullify your sinful activities. That is automatically done. Just like if you get $1 million, the purpose of $10 automatically serves. Similarly, this acceptance of holy name of God will automatically wash off all your sinful reaction. That's a fact. But it is not meant for that purpose. It is meant for higher purpose. to attain to this platform of loving God, rendering transcendental loving service to the Lord. That is the aim. Yes.
The ninth offense is inattentive while chanting the holy
name. Yes. This is the ninth offense. While you chant, you hear also. And you don't turn your attention to anything else. Mechanically chanting and thinking of something. Thinking of Krishna is all right, but if I think something which is not in Krishna consciousness, but the best thing is that I shall chant Hare Krishna and each word I shall hear, then it will be very much effective. Yes.
The tenth offense is attachment to material things while engaged in the practice of chanting.
Attachment, this is the disease, ahang mameti. The material disease means I am thinking this body I am, and everything belonging to this body are in relationship to the body mine. This is material disease. So we shall see, by chanting we shall see how much we are making progress, how much I am free from these two concepts of life, that I am this body and anything belonging to this body is mine. This is the test, how we are becoming free from these two concepts of life. If there is still the concept that I am this body and anything belonging to this body is mine, then you have to chant very cautiously to make progress. Yes. That's all. These ten kinds of offenses you should be guarding. Jayananda looks like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes, he was tall and stout and strong, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes, very good. And in Vrindavan, when Kirtananda was given sannyas, he was looking so nice with this dress and danda. Oh, practically all the devotees of Vrindavan came to offer him respect. Yes. And Janmashtami day, I offered him sannyas. So many devotees came to see in the temple. So there was a big crowd. He was looking very nice. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also very fair complexion. So in this dress, persons with fair complexion looks very nice. He is very attractive. So the people are not attracted with this dress. In Kirtan, this bare head with tilak and this dress, they will know that they are coming from directly from the kingdom of God. Actually, it is so. They have forgotten God, otherwise they would have received these brahmacharis so nicely. In India, you will be received just like gods with this dress.